Om Shanti. Today's lesson is understanding the depths of karma philosophy. Till now, we have heard sessions on Rajyoga meditation, the importance and the awareness of the self, the awareness of the Supreme Being, the method and basis of yoga and the stages of yoga, and the attainments through yoga. But in the world, it is seen that there are two deep secrets that have to be understood. And the first deep secret is of the time cycle. And the second deep secret is of understanding the laws of karma. Mainly, whenever something happens in our life, or there is a problem in our life, or sometimes there are things not moving the way we want to, this question arises in the mind again and again. Why does it happen with me only and not anyone else? When I'm not trying to harm anyone, when I'm not trying to give sorrow to anyone, when I always try to benefit people, why do people behave in a wrong manner with me? And this is such a question which is always unanswered. Nobody has got the answer to this question. So, human beings, sometimes they get so nervous, so depressed, that why is God giving me such obstacles in my life when I am trying to help everyone? And why do people not try to help me? They do not be considerate to me. So this is the main question that normally people have in their lives. And that is the time when some spiritual minded people would say, well, it is the law of action. The deep secrets of karma philosophy, sometime, somewhere it has been performed. And the fruits are seen in this present time. Because we are going through many births, and each birth is like an episode. Just as in a TV serial, we have various episodes, and we would see one episode, but it has some or the other connection with the next episode. Similarly, human beings' life, each life is like an episode. And something happening in this episode has some connection somewhere in some other episodes. But because we are not able to understand, or we are not able to remember those episodes, we come into the stage of sorrow. But if we would have known all the episodes, if we would have remembered all the episodes of all the births, maybe we would be able to understand the secret at that moment. And instead of going through a suffering, we may feel happy also, now my account is clear with this person or this situation or with this fact. And that is when we would be relieved from the burden we were carrying with us all the time. But many a times we hear people saying that if you are doing bad karma now, then you will have to reap that action, the fruit of that action, in a particular species. You will have to go into those species. There are 84 lakh species in the world. And according to the Hindu scriptures, it is mentioned, whenever we perform any violent act, we have to go into that particular species to pay for our action, to reap the fruits of our action. But just imagine, if we take this fact to be a truth, and if we, supposing one person is doing a violent act, he is murdering somebody, and if he has to reap for that action, and he has to adopt a species where he is surviving on violent acts only, like a tiger or a lion, how does he reap the action? How does he reap the action? Because he is not able to experience the fruits. But on the contrary, the sanskaras are getting more powerful than before. The first slide. So supposing if a person has done a bad act and he goes into that species, is his sanskaras going to get transformed? Or is his sanskaras going to become more powerful? What would we say? If I have done a violent act, if I have murdered somebody, and if I have to reap the fruits of that action by going into that species where I have to survive on the violent act, is those sanskars of violence going to increase or decrease? What would we say? Will the sanskaras increase of violence or decrease? Will increase, definitely. So we are not having the realization that violence is a bad act and I have to give up violence. It reminds me that once we had a jurist conference here. And in that jurist conference, many judges and advocates had come from various parts of the country. And in one of the sessions, one of the judge from the Supreme Court was mentioning that how do we perform our duties? Supposing we have a case and we are hearing that case, and we have various types of victims who had come into the witness box. Supposing a murderer has come in that witness box. We listen to the hearing. And after that, according to the type of crime he has done, we give a judgment that he has performed this murder, so this many years of jail. Maybe a lifetime imprisonment. And he is sent to jail. But a murderer is sent to that jail only where there are other murderers. In that department only where there are other murderers. And a thief maybe. A thief is sent to that place where there are other thieves. When they go there, what will be their talks? Just imagine, like-minded people, when they meet one another, what will be their talks? They will ask him, how were you caught? And try to show so much of sympathy. We are there with you, don't be afraid. And this is how, when they ask him, how did he commit that crime? And sharing the experiences with one another, they form a friendship. And in that friendship, they learn new techniques from one another. And maybe when they come out of the jail, instead of giving up that habit, instead of giving up that sanskara forever, they form a gang. And they start performing in such a way that the next time they will never be caught. So what type of punishment have we given them? The punishment should be such that they get a deep realization that this is a bad act and so I do not have to perform this bad act. I have to give it up forever. That is called as punishment. If they are going to learn more techniques and when they come out, they are going to become very strong culprits. How did we give them the punishment? And if God's laws are also similar, that if a person has performed a violent act, and so if he is sent to that species where he is surviving on violence, and where he is enjoying doing that violence, there is no realization. So will he ever give up that sanskara? And how is the punishment? There is no punishment. So God's ways are unique. He would not send us to that species. But the fruits of our actions we reap being in this human body only, and where we go through a deep realization that we should not have this sanskara in our life. Yes, definitely, there are 84 lakhs of species. But the truth is, the spiritual wisdom says that the human soul does not transmigrate in each and every species. Because if we are going through all the various species, then after coming into the human body, we should be perfect in every sense, every way. But at the time of birth, when some people are disabled, mentally retarded, or going through pain and sorrow, what is the fruit? How are we getting the fruit? Because at the time of birth, we do not perform any karma. Then why are we reaping this fruit? If we say it is of past life, then past life karmas we have finished in the different species. So now when I get the human body, I should be perfect in every sense. And another thing is, why should I consider an animal species to be a species of punishment? Why? Animals are happy, in fact. That is not a species of punishment. There is more sufferings that we experience in human body than the animal species. In fact, the species of punishment is human body, not animal body. We see the birds flying and enjoying, what suffering they are going through. No suffering. No punishment. We see the animals, they are happily leading their life. They are looking after their family and everything. No worries, no tensions. And human beings, every now and then we are experiencing either stress, we are experiencing pain, we are experiencing sorrow. So we reap the fruits mentally also, physically also. The animal species, they do not go through any mental tortures. Only physical, which they have to reap, yes. But that is not a species of punishment. In fact, more than animal species, human species is the species of punishment. Here we go through mental tortures also and physical tortures. Socially also, maybe we are tortured sometimes. And emotionally also we are tortured. That is why we have heart attacks. We have various diseases. We go through pains. We go through sorrow, stress. People have to commit suicide. Just imagine ending up their lives. Isn't this a great punishment for them? So why do we have to think that animal species is the species of punishment only? In fact, they are enjoying. Human beings are going through pain and sorrow every moment. So this is the species of punishment. Another thing, that if we have gone through all the pains and sorrows in different species, then when we take birth, we should be healthy in every way. We find some small children with polio, we find some small children disabled, we find various diseases that come up in children also. So this shows that we have to reap the fruits of our actions in human body itself and not in other species. Supposing if we take up some grain, and there are some insects in the grain. We keep the grain out in the sunlight. Due to the warmth, the insects will also run to save their lives. If that is a species of punishment, they should leave the body immediately, then they'll get a human body. No, they love that species itself. That is why they want to save their life and they run for their lives. Or if human beings, they are going through various of pains and you ask these human beings, those who are going through cancers or maybe more severe pains than that also, and you ask them, throughout the life you have gone through such pains. What if in the next life you are given an animal body? Will it do? What will they say? No, we won't like to go in an animal body. Doesn't matter whatever type of body we get, but we would like to get in a human. So human beings also love their species. Why is it that we cannot go into other species? Because as is the seed, so is the fruit. If I have sown a seed of a mango, or an apple, what will the fruit that I will get? I'll get a similar fruit. If two seeds, a mango seed and an apple seed, or maybe another fruit, papaya seed maybe, if they are sown nearby one another, still from one seed we will not get another fruit. The same fruit will come out. Why? The same manure is there, the land is same, the air is same, the water is same, the sunlight is same, everything is same. But why don't we get another fruit from this seed? Because the specialities of each and every seed is different. Similarly, the specialities of human seed, human soul is different from that of an animal seed, animal soul. And the speciality of an animal soul is different from that of a human soul. An animal soul, it has the speciality that whenever any natural disasters are going to happen, they come to know, they sense it first. And human beings cannot sense them. And the speciality of a human soul is that we are able to think and plan for the next 5 years also, 10 years also. While an animal would not plan what he is going to eat tomorrow, he won't keep everything stored with himself. No. So each and every seed has its own speciality. So from one seed, we do not get another fruit. Human being's soul, this seed has special unique features which an animal soul does not have, And the speciality or the special features that an animal soul has, the human soul does not have. Each and everybody's specialities are different. So, this concept, yes, our life becomes like an animal or worse than an animal. When we have to reap the fruits of our actions, the life is such that maybe even animals lead a better life than us, human beings. And human beings, they have to go through so many pains. Their life has become such. Otherwise, animals are so happy in their own species. They do not wish to go into any other species. It is only human being who has various thoughts in his minds. But the simple truth that spirituality gives us is, as is the seed, so is the fruit. And so human beings reap the fruits of their actions in their own species. Animal souls reap the fruits of their actions in their own species. We find one dog or a cat moving in cars and living in big houses, having bread and milk every day. And some dogs are stray dogs on the streets. So their karmic accounts are settled in their own species. And human beings' karmic accounts are settled in their own species. A beautiful thing that I am reminded of, that once there were three monkeys. This was a cartoon that I once saw. The three monkeys were talking to one another. The first monkey says to the other monkey that I have heard that human beings, they call themselves to be our descendants, as we, their ancestors. So the other monkey says, what did you say? The human beings have got promotion in their lives. Look at us. We never kill one another. We live so happily. And they are thirsting for the blood of their own species, people. So if they say that they are our descendants, have they got promoted or what? So then the third monkey says, I will never accept these human beings as my descendants. Such a criticism was given on the action of the human beings, that human beings have gone to that stage that today the monkeys also do not accept us to be their descendants. Huh? Just imagine how much we have degraded in the human life itself. And animals are more happy than us. So they are criticizing human beings also and their karmas also. What type of people these people are? And nowadays even the scientific research that is being done in the world, that also shows that human souls transmigrate in human species itself. Till now, we might have read in many newspapers or heard in certain cases that whenever somebody recalls the memory of their past life, till today, nobody has mentioned that from an animal I have become a human being. Has anybody said that? No. Whoever has recalled their past memories, the memories of the past life, they've always shown that from a human being, we have been a human being. I myself had seen one case that there was a 4-year-old boy, and every day he would tell his mother that I want to go to my home. So the mother used to explain to the child, this is your home. So he would say again and again, no, I would like to go to my home. So the mother was getting upset every time when she heard these words from the child's mouth. And she was not able to understand what is the child trying to convey. Why is he not accepting this home to be his home? Every time he would say, no, I want to go to my home. Take me to my home. So one day, the parents, they were passing by a town and going to another place in their car. Suddenly when they were passing through that town, that boy said, stop the car, stop the car. So the father stopped the car. So the child said, now you turn right from here. And then he said, go left. And there was a huge bungalow there. So he said, stop here. This is my home. So the father said, child, this is not our home. So he says, no, it is not your home. It is my home. So he said, let us go in. So as they were getting in through the gate, a dog came running. So the child spoke the name of the dog and said, whatever the name of the dog was. And the dog calmed down, hearing the name. He went through the garden and into the bungalow, pressed the doorbell, and a lady came out. So the small child calls her by the name and asks, do you recognize me? So she was just looking at the parents and the child and she was wondering who these people are. So the mother was feeling so embarrassed. So she said that, well, look, we were just passing from here and this child of mine is 4 years old and he says this is his home and he has brought us here. We also are not able to understand what is happening. So, as he was the boss of the house, he went inside and he sat on his original chair. And then, looking to that lady, who was his wife of the last birth, he says, that I am this person. I am the boss of this house. So the lady was also feeling bad. But then the child got up and said, you know why I came here? I had to tell you and show you something which I was not able to show you in my past life. So he takes the family in the backyard and there was a tree there. And underneath the tree there was something. So he called the servant and made him dig near the tree. And there was some cash and some gold things, ornaments kept there. So he said, I was not able to tell you this secret that I had buried these ornaments here. Why? Because there was a fear that there was going to be a raid that was going to take place in our house because of the income tax and all that. So that was the time I buried all these ornaments here and I put some cash also here. And then I met with an heart attack and I died. So I was not able to tell you. So now my job is over and I hand over all these things to you. And after that he forgot everything. Then he tells his parents, let us go now. My work is done, let us go. And then he forgets everything. He does not remember anything. So there are certain cases which we come across, which we hear that some people, when they recall the memories of their past life, till today, nobody has ever mentioned that from an animal they have come into this human species. All the evidences show that from human beings to a human body itself. And not only that, in today's world, especially when people go to hypnotize somebody or they go to hypnotist. And when the hypnotist hypnotizes a person, he takes him into his past life. 2 lives back or 4 lives back or 6 lives back also. And there is a beautiful book written by Dr. Raymond Moody, Life After Life. I don't know how many of you might have read also. But in this book, he has said that he has hypnotized so many cases during his life. The number that is mentioned is 3,65,000 cases he has hypnotized, out of which 1,60,000 cases have shown that from a human being they have come into the human species only. And they have given the evidences, whatever they have spoken, accordingly, because when they are hypnotized, they are asked a certain set of questions. And when these people answer the question, and when they are hypnotized and taken into their past life, they start speaking the language of the past life. In this birth, they do not even know that language. But when they are taken into the past life, they start speaking that language. Just like a cassette, when it is rewinded, and the previous song, when we listen to that song, it is the same song. Maybe in different language or different tunes. Similarly, the cassette is being rewinded of the memory in hypnotism. And when they are taken into that past life, they start speaking that language, answering all the questions. So out of the 3,65,000 cases that were being hypnotized, the language of 1,60,000 souls were understood. They spoke in English. The rest of the languages they did not understand. But that language was not of any animal language. It was a human language only, because there are so many languages in the world. So definitely one person or a team of doctors cannot understand which language it is. But the 1,60,000 cases who had spoken English, and whatever facts they gave for the answers to those questions, when they did a research, they went to those places and tried to inquire, it was found out that those things had happened which that person has mentioned. And so, he has written this book, Life After Life. So, all that scientific truths also, scientific research is also back up that yes, human beings take birth in the human body itself. And on the basis of these evidences, sometimes they are trying to help people overcome a particular disease which is carried forward psychologically. It's a beautiful thing that I read was there was a lady, and she had a back pain, a very severe back pain. Every time she feels the pain is like shooting pain. She goes to the doctor, the best doctors, but every time when she is investigated, some reports are there, x-ray reports and everything, but everything shows normal. There is nothing that is bad in the back. The back is absolutely normal, and the doctors would say, well, everything is perfect in your back, nothing, no problem. And she could not understand, but why do I have this pain? It is unbearable pain. But the doctors also could not understand. After trying all the doctors, one day somebody referred her to go to the hypnotist. So she goes up to the hypnotist, she is hypnotized, she is taken into her past life. And when she goes into her past life, she is asked this question, how many questions were asked. And then in the end, she was asked this question, how did you leave your body? So, in that she answers that I met with a terrible car accident And in that car accident, the car was smashed in such a way that my whole back was broken. The whole back was broken in such a way. Just imagine if a finger is broken, the pain that we have to bear. When the whole back is broken, and she stayed for so many hours till the help came to her in that state. So the pain was unbearable. And as she was being taken to the hospital, meanwhile she left the body. But psychologically, the impressions that the soul has taken with itself is, my back is aching, terrible ache. Now she has taken a birth in the form of a lady, but this birth's back is perfectly all right. But psychologically, the impression that she is carrying with her, my back is aching. So she is feeling the pain. Still now, she is feeling the pain. So when she came to know that this birth's back is completely all right, this was the pain from the last birth, which psychologically I have carried forward, she became perfectly all right. The pain was gone completely because it was just psychological pain that she was going through. So nowadays, doctors are also treating certain patients on the basis of the psychological memories which are carried forward within the soul. And when it is treated, they overcome the disease, they overcome the pain, and they are perfectly all right. So these are the scientific research. Initially, in some years back, science did not believe in the rebirth. But now, science has also accepted that there is rebirth, and the rebirth is human being's soul transmigrates in a human body itself. So this is the scientific research that people have done. Now, how many births do we take? In the morning, you saw the cycle of 5,000 years, how the cycle is moving. And it is shown in a form of a swastika, which has four parts, and all the four parts are equal. 5,000 years cycle, how this cycle moves. Now just imagine, if we have to go through 84 lakh births, in 5,000 years cycle, what will be the lifespan? What will be the lifespan? If you calculate 84 lakh births in 5,000 years, what will be the lifespan? It's impossible to calculate. So actually it is not 84 lakh. 84 lakh species are there, but a human being takes 84 births only. In 5,000 years, only 84 births, and this is a secret that is revealed by God Himself. According to the scriptures also, it is mentioned in the scriptures, Laksh Chauryasi. 84, not luck, but 84 Laksh. And according to Sanskrit, Laksh has two meanings. One is lakh. And another is birth. So if we say 84 births, then human beings have to give the evidence, have to give a proof of how we take 84 births only, which nobody knows. So the people in the scriptures have written 84 lakh births, and that also, whatever type of karma you do, accordingly species you'll have to go in to get your punishment. So no proof has to be given. But now when God descends on this world, He explains the truth. Only 84 births. And how do we take 84 births in this 5,000 year cycle? If it's in the present time, what is the lifespan of a human being? Average lifespan of a human being is how many years? Round about 60. Our grandfathers or grandparents, How much did they live? What was their lifespan? 70, 80. Their grandfathers? More, definitely. Their forefathers? Their ancestors? How much lifespan would they have gone through? Definitely round about 100 or more than 100. And their ancestors? So, if we see those human beings in golden age, what would have been their lifespan? Round about 150 years maybe. Why, when we have all the scientific advancements, when we have the latest medical equipments and everything, still why has the lifespan reduced? Why? Why did our ancestors live more without any medical treatment also? They were healthy. And today, when we have all the medical facilities, still why do people live only maximum 60 to 70 years or 80? Why? Why not more than 100 years? Hardly anybody goes over 100, crosses 100. Rest of them below 100. And nowadays, heart attacks at the age of 40 years, if he has lived up to 40 years and crossed 40 years, they think, well, all these years after 40 are bonus in their life, isn't it? This is what we say, that we are leading a bonus life now. Whatever we have got, these years are just bonus. We are after retirement also. So why do we live less? Why? Any explanation? Why did our ancestors live more than us? Because we have tension, is it? Because the willpower in the soul has diminished. The willpower in those souls, our ancestors, was so great. And that is why if anything would happen to them, hardly they would care for it and they would move forward. They would not even think about it. But today if small thing happens, so much concerned we become. And we cannot tolerate, no power of tolerance. Anything happens, we start crying immediately. Anything happens, we start losing hope. So because of these qualities, they lived more. Wherever there is qualities, wherever there are values, the lifespan also increases because the willpower is there. Battery of the soul is continuously being charged. While in this age, for small things also we become nervous, we become depressed, we become stressed. So the willpower has diminished. And when the willpower is not there, small things that happen to us, we cannot tolerate the pain. Because there is no willpower to tolerate. So that is why our ancestors lived more than us. And as is the karma, so will be the birth. So that is why if we see, accordingly, they perform karmas. How many types of karmas do we have? In these four ages, how many types of karmas are there? There are four types of karmas. The first type of karma are known as elevated actions. The second type of karma are known as neutral actions. The third type of karma is known as charitable actions. And the fourth type of karma is known as sinful actions. These are the four type of karmas. Now in each and every age, the karma and the birth have a deep connection. If we see in the golden age, the golden age is such, well, when the soul descends from Paramdham, when it descends from the soul world to this world, there is a golden dawn, a golden era on this world, where each and every soul is 16 celestial degrees complete, all virtuous, completely pure, full of maryadas, and because of this soul power that they have, a fresh soul that descends from Paramdham is full of all the powers and all the values. So in 1250 years, we take only 8 births. And here, we are called as, labeled as divine beings, deities. And therefore, the deities are said to be immortal. Immortal. It is not that they never die. They definitely leave the body. Once a person who has taken a body has to leave a body. But there is no untimely death. Like we have in this age, in Kali Yuga, untimely deaths. A 2-year-old child also leaves the body. A 6-month-old baby leaves the body. Untimely death. Has not even seen the world, entered the world and has left the world. While in golden age, there is no untimely death. So there is nothing, no word like, he has died. There is no word of death. Therefore, they are said to be immortal, celebrating the full lifespan, enjoying the full lifespan, and then with the desire, they leave the body. Like if we have new clothes, we wear them happily, and when it gets old, we happily leave them, shed them off, and take a new one. And we have great happiness in adopting a new body, in a new clothes. The same thing, the soul, when it takes the body, uses that body for 150 years, the lifespan is 150 roundabout, enjoying the full lifespan, and then when it feels now this body has become old, I need to take another one. So happily gathers all the relatives, tells them, look, now this body has been old and I wish to shed off and I'll take another one. So there is a celebration of death also. Like in today's age, when a child is born, we celebrate the birthday. Similarly, in golden age, they celebrate the death day. People are happy that now this body is old, so this soul is wanting to take a new one. So having that happiness of taking the new body. Why do we fear death in this world? There is no fear of death in golden age. Why? Because everybody's karma are so elevated. Why should they fear death? Here, why do we have the fear of death? Because we do not know, according to the karmas that we have done throughout our lives, what are the fruits that we are going to reap for these karmas. That is why the fear is there. And that is why every moment, as soon as death is approaching, we fear the death. In golden age, everybody's karmas are elevated. So there is no need to fear death because they know they are going to take another good body, a healthy body, a first class body. So why should we fear death? So this is why they are known as immortal. The feeling of leaving the body, the sorrow of leaving the body, the fear of death is not there. And this is how 8 births in golden age, after golden age when we come up to silver age. Silver age is also known as the moon dynasty. Golden age is known as the sun dynasty. But when we come to silver age, 2 degrees come down. 16 celestial degrees complete in golden age. Now, which 16 degrees do we have? These are not any specific degrees that we count. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, 16 is a figure of completeness. So the souls were all in their complete form. Why, in Silver Age, gradually the soul power diminishes 2 degrees. Just as if we see a full moon, we say it is 16 celestial degrees complete. But if you see the moon after 2 days, there is slight. Similarly, in the degrees of the soul also, there is a slight patch that has come over. But still, does not go through sufferings. It is happy in itself and it is enjoying. And there we have 12 births. Because the 2 degrees have come down, the soul power has reduced, has diminished 2 degrees. So, the births increase. The average lifespan is round about 125, between 100 and 125. But there also there is no fear of death. And there the rule of Sri Rama and Sita is there. In golden age, Sri Lakshmi and Sri Narayan rules. And how did we come to know about that? Because with Narayan, there is a prefix that is attached. Satya Narayan or Surya Narayan. Satya Narayan means he was the emperor of the golden age. He was the emperor of Satyuga. Satyuga means the age of truth. So he is termed as Satya Narayan. And Silver Age is said to be Chandra Vansh, the moon dynasty. Just as the degrees of the moon come down, similarly the degrees of the soul also start coming down. So that is why a word is added with the word Rama, and that is Rama Chandra and Surya Narayan. That is why Treta Yuga, Silver Age, is also termed as Rama Rajya. It is the kingdom of Rama. The ancestors of Sri Ram applied the tilak of Surya. They were all of Surya Vanshis. But from where Sri Ram came, another age starts, and which is known as the kingdom of Rama. And there are 12 births. That is why when we celebrate the birthday of Krishna, it is known as Janamashtami. Janamashtami means he went through the 8 births. Actually, we are celebrating the birthday of 8 births. And that is why he is known as Janamashtami. And then after Ashtami, Navami is Ram Navami. The 9th birth is of Sri Rama. So practical everything is there in the scriptures. But maybe nobody explained us in that manner, so we were not able to understand. So the 9th birth is of Sri Rama. And this is how then the 3rd age comes, which is known as the Copper Age, where the whole world goes through a transformation. And half the time is over, 2500 years are over from 5000 years, so half the degrees are also over. So in Copper Age, the degree of the soul, the purity of the soul, the degree of purity of the soul is only 8 degrees, 8 celestial degrees. And so the births increase, to 21. And the lifespan decreases, and from Copper Age, we start meeting untimely deaths also. So here, we start performing the pujas of those souls who had been on this world. Sri Rama, Sri Lakshmi, Narayan, Sri Krishna, everyone's pujas. Just as in today's age, the great souls who have been in our age, in Kali Yuga or before Kali Yuga, like various other great saints, we have their temples also made. And we worship them as well, isn't it? So when these temples are made of those great souls, because we feel as if they were elevated than us, so we should worship them. Similarly, those who have come in Copper Age, for them, those souls of Golden Age and Silver Age are more elevated. So they build their temples and they start worshipping them. And from here, we start performing charitable actions. In Golden Age and Silver Age, it is neutral action. But from Copper Age, we start performing charity. We give out some things in donation, earn charity, and these are known as charitable actions, punya karma. And gradually, as time passes by, the various great religion establishes also come in this age. The first of all, Abraham comes to establish Islam religion. Then comes Mahatma Buddha to establish Buddha religion. And then comes Christ to establish Christian religion on the world. In India, many great saints had come to reform the society and to give guidance to the souls to perform elevated actions. But still, time moves by. And this is how we enter the fourth age, which is Kali Yuga, where the souls have only 1 or 2 degrees left. The degree, the purity of the soul has diminished only to 1 or 2 degrees. That is why whenever people talk of some good person also, or even a bad person, they will always say, maybe he is 99% bad, but at least he has one quality. See that quality. And get along with him on the basis of that quality. So only 1 or 2 degrees left in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means the age of darkness, where the degree of purity has completely been gone, only 1 or 2 degrees left. And on the basis of that, we try to sustain our lives. And therefore, untimely deaths, and not only that, we go through 42 births. We take 42 births in this age, Kali Yuga. And this is how we come down to the fifth age, which is the confluence of Iron Age and Golden Age. The confluence of the two. And in this age, we have one birth. So in Kali Yuga, we performed so many sinful actions. Most of it was sinful action. Knowingly, unknowingly also, we had performed so many sinful actions. Yes. Sometimes we know that speaking lies, maybe, or doing wrong to others, that is a sinful act. But unknowingly, what sinful acts do we perform? There are many sinful acts. Supposing there is a beggar, and seeing his condition, you have compassion for that beggar. So you give him a 10 rupee note thinking that I have accumulated my charitable action. Not necessarily. But because it depends on how he is going to use that money. Supposing with that 10 rupee note, he goes and purchases a knife and kills somebody. So the sinful act that he has performed, because you have given him the 10 rupee note, and with that 10 rupee note, he has performed this act. So you have partnership in that bad action, in that sinful action. So this is how many sinful actions are performed in partnership with others, not knowing. That is why it is said in Kali Yuga, when you donate, when you do charity, see the patra. See whether he is worthy to have that charity or not. If he is not worthy to have that charity, then don't give him. Because otherwise you are creating a partnership in the sinful act that he is going to perform. And then we have to settle also in partnership. We have to settle. Sometimes we find some people traveling in one coach. All of them meet death. Why did everyone in that particular train was moving? And when it was crossing the bridge, After the train moved, only last one or two coaches are left and the bridge broke and those two coaches fell and all of them, they met with an accident and they died. Why the last two coaches only? Have you ever wondered? Because all those souls had an account in a partnership. Their actions were such. And how do we come into partnership? Just I'll give you a small example that there is a butcher. He kills an animal. He kills a cow or maybe a goat. He kills the goat. Now, he has performed this action. Then he sells it to somebody who brings that flesh, who brings that meat to the market. So he is also attached in that partnership. Then the person who is selling, he is also attached in the partnership. Then the person who is buying is also attached in the partnership. And the person who is cooking is also in the partnership. And the person who is eating is also in this partnership. So this is how the chain is formed. And when this chain is formed, everybody will have to settle the account of that action together. So in different births, when that right time comes, they will all gather in some way or the other to one place and they will have to settle it. So this is how we settle the account. If we have the partnership between two people, we are traveling in a train maybe. We are sitting next to a person and we don't know that person. But somebody who has some animosity with that person, when he sees that person, he just comes up with other people, beats him, and because we are sitting next to him, they think that we are also accompanying him, so we also get beaten up. This is how we settle. And then we feel, why? I did not do anything, but why did they beat me? Because there was some partnership somewhere, in some birth, and so it had to be settled together. So this is why it is said in Kali Yuga, knowingly and unknowingly, we have developed such partnership accounts together and we'll have to settle it together also. The wholesale settlement is now being performed. Why? Because time is moving towards the end. So all the accounts have to be cleared. So in Sangam Yoga, when we come into this confluence period, we have one birth. And here, God teaches us the most elevated actions. By stabilizing in the soul conscious stage and remembering the Supreme Father and performing karma, this is known as the most elevated action. What are the neutral actions? When we say deities, they perform neutral action. What is neutral action? I'll just give you a small example. Sowing a seed. I, with my own hands in my garden, I sow a seed of a fruit. This action is performed by me. When I sustain that small plant and let it grow, as it grows into a tree, it starts bearing fruits. Then I pluck that fruit and I eat the fruit. Both the actions are performed by me. Sowing the seed is also performed by me. Eating the fruit is also performed by me. Is there any difference between the two actions? Is there any difference between the two actions? Yes? There is a difference? Huh? There is any difference between the two actions? What difference? Or no difference? There is a difference. Sowing the seed was an elevated action. It was such a powerful action that one seed gave me thousands of fruits. That was the power it had in sowing the seed. That is the most elevated action which gives me the thousand fruits, and that also every season it gives me thousands of fruits. So powerful action it was done. But eating the fruit, that is the end of the action. There is no other fruit I am getting out of eating the fruit. Satisfaction, that is the fruit I receive. Unless I sow that seed again. Until and unless I do not sow the seed, I eat the fruit and throw away the seed, I'm not going to get anything. So that is where the action is over. Eating the fruit is the neutralized action, which I do not get any other fruit after it, unless I sow it again. So, sowing the seed is an elevated, powerful action which gives me 1,000 fruits every season. But eating the fruit, satisfaction, and that's it, it is completed, it's over. So similarly, in confluence age, whatever karma we do are elevated action on the basis of wisdom, on the basis of knowledge. And reaping the fruit in golden age and silver age, so many births, happiness, peace, prosperity and everything, all the fruits are there. But after we go into that world, each birth, that is the eating of the fruit. So it is over. It is neutralized. Another simple example I can think of is, there is a person who accumulates wealth and puts it in the bank. And you ask him, why are you accumulating so much? What is the answer that he will give? When I get retired, so that I can sustain myself. Fine. Now when he has got retired, so till retirement, he goes on accumulating, depositing in his bank for his own self. Now when he gets retired, nothing is being deposited. Now he starts eating. So the bank balance comes down. And he uses freely. So when he uses freely, thinking that, well, how many years I'm going to live? So maximum he tries to spend so that there's no one after me. Why should I leave it for somebody else? Thinking that, he finishes off and uses it freely. Now when the bank balance is very little left, and he can see that still he's healthy, and he will live another 10 years maybe. Now what will he do? He does not have that much of money which can sustain him for the next 10 years. So what will he do? Find some small job maybe, which can earn him a little bit of income, through which he can complete the other 10 years also. But he is not able to earn that much which he used to do. Similarly, now that we perform the elevated actions in golden age and silver age, we eat the fruits very freely. And till the end of silver age, we have used more than half of our bank balance. Only a little bit is left. And another 2 ages are there. So how can we sustain ourselves? So then we do a little bit of charity, earn that and go on. And now in Kali Yuga, we have gone in our credit balance. We have so much on us pending, which we have to settle. And this is how we are settling. But then sometimes some people ask this question. But in today's age, we find some people are so dishonest, but still they are enjoying their life. And those who are honest, they are suffering in their lives. Why is it like this? It reminds me of a beautiful story that once there were 2 people. They were walking and one was an honest person, very honest person. Another was a very dishonest person, corrupted man. As they were both walking through the road, suddenly they saw a purse lying there on the road. So the dishonest, the corrupted vyakti, he picks up the purse. He opens the purse and finds there are thousand rupees in it. 1,000 rupees. So he's happy. Well, today we have earned a fortune. So nice, without any efforts we have got 1,000 rupees. So he tells the honest person, let us share. Because ye are also there with me, I should not behave in a mean manner. So we can divide it 50-50. You can have 500, I will keep 500. So the honest person tells him, look, the person who must have lost this purse, maybe he is taking his salary home. And he has lost it. He must be feeling so sorrow. He must be in sorrow. He must be very sad about it. Definitely he must have made a complaint in the police. He must have lodged a complaint. So why don't we go to the police, give them, maybe he'll get it and he will bless us. He will feel so happy about it. So the dishonest man says, look, if it was in his fortune, he would not have dropped it. But now that it is in our fortune, we should accept it as a fruit. We should not do this silly thing of giving it to the police. Why? Because if it is not in his fortune, and if we go and give it to the police will keep it with them. They won't give it to him. So why should we do this? And now when we have got it, there was no one before us who had come. So we should accept it as a prasad from God and accept it. If you do not want the 500 rupees, no problem, I can have it for myself. Huh? But I'm not going to do this silly thing of going and giving it to the police. As they were walking, the honest person did not say anything. And he did not accept the money also. He said, you can keep it if you want. I won't have it. Because this is not for me. I feel that. So the dishonest man was very happy. He kept the purse of 1,000 rupees and feeling so glad about it and moving. After some steps they had walked, the honest man, he was pricked by a thorn and he was pricked so deeply that blood started coming out. So the dishonest person said, look, this is the fruit of your honesty. Because you are so honest, thorns are there in your path. Lead a dishonest life and you'll get purses like me. So this is what is happening in today's world also, we find. So what happened that the deities from the skies, they were observing this whole thing. So they say, what is this? The honest person should get the purse. Should get the fruit of his honesty, and the dishonest person should get the thorn. Something wrong is going on. So they go up to God and say, God, today we have a complaint for you. What is the complaint? So he says, Chitragupta is doing something, some gotalas in his books of accounts. So God says, this can never happen. Chitragupta is so accurate in his accounts, he can never make a mistake. So the deities narrate the whole story to God and say the honest person should get the fruit and the dishonest person should get the thorn, should get the punishment. Why is this happened? So God could not answer. So God called upon Chitragupta. Chitragupta, you come with the books of accounts of both the souls. So he came with the book of accounts and says, tell me their accounts. So the honest person in his previous life was a very dishonest man. And the dishonest person was a very honest man. And as a fruit of his honesty, he was to earn, he was to get a lottery of millions of rupees. But he was given a chance. He was being tested whether he keeps his honesty or not. So, when God tested him before giving the fruit of that lottery, he gave up his honesty and became a corrupted man and he lost the patience. And he adopted the dishonest path. And from that day he started doing so much dishonest things, corrupted things, that all that fruit went on reducing to 1,000 rupees. Which he said, this is what is my fortune. But his fortune was millions of rupees. But he was just satisfied in that 1,000 rupees. And the dishonest man, he was to be tortured because of the dishonesty and the corruption that he had done. But before giving the punishment, God gave him a chance to see whether he takes that chance. And he took the chance. He took that opportunity and completely transformed, become a very honest person. And because he was doing so much of good things, all that punishment and torture reduced just to a prick of the thorn. So this is not the fruit of his honesty, but that was just the fruit that was remained of his dishonesty. And this purse which he got is not the fruit of his dishonesty, but it is the fruit of his honest action, which was just left in 2,000 rupees. But now that he has led the dishonest life, the fruit is still remaining which he'll have to go through. So, in today's world also, when we see such cases, remember, it is not the fruit of dishonesty or honesty that the person is getting. But God teaches us the most elevated actions. And the basis for the most elevated actions is soul consciousness and spiritual wisdom. And the seed is very powerful. Every thought that we generate and every action that we do, that is like the seed. But to sow the seed in the most fertile land, in which is the land in our lives, elevated character. When we have good character, that good character becomes a fertile land for sowing the seed. And when a good action is sowed in that fertile land, it comes up with good fruits. Not only that, but we have to sustain that seed also. And how do we sustain that seed? By giving it good environment. And the manure of self-discipline and principles in life. All the principles that we adopt, this becomes the manure which will sustain, which will give strength to that good action. Not only that, but a good environment, which becomes the air. And the air is of good sanskaras and good environment that we create around us. And the sunlight of wisdom. Again and again on the basis of wisdom, when we sustain that good act, it starts giving good, it grows healthier. And then the water. The water is the nectar of spiritual studies. Regularly giving the spiritual study, this becomes the nectar for it. Then we have to keep it safe. We have to protect it from the insects and the birds so that they don't spoil the fruit. And which are those insects and birds that spoil the fruit? They are bad company and bad habits, ego. This is from which we have to protect ourselves. Because that are like insects. Ego, bad company, bad habits. These are all like insects that will make the fruit get bad. And then, in the end, we will have a good fruit where we'll get the satisfaction and the inner pleasure. The bliss, the experience of bliss. So this is the basis of elevated actions, which God tells us how we have to take care of our actions in Sangam Yuga. And then we can transform ourselves from ordinary beings into Sri Lakshmi and Narayan. And with that, God gives each and every one of us one gift. And that gift is of a good quality. Each and every one of us is blessed with some or the other values, some or the other qualities which he has filled our aprons with. And on the basis of this quality, we can progress in our life and we can sustain our life also. We can constantly do good actions on the basis of this quality that we are blessed with. So this is the deep secrets of karma, where God himself becomes the bestower of fortune and writes the fortune on our foreheads. In this most auspicious age and this one birth which is known as the most auspicious birth. So this is how we enjoy the 84 births, 8 births in golden age, 12 births in silver age, so 20 births. 21 births in copper age, so 41 births. 42 births in Kali Yuga, so 83 births. And in the confluence age, 1 birth. So this is the most auspicious birth. That is why it is said, human birth is the most auspicious birth. And that also, the last birth is the most auspicious birth, because this birth, this one birth, becomes the base for the 84 births also. So whatever karma, the elevated karma we do now, reaps the fruit for the next 83 births, 84 births. This is how we are going to sustain. If we look at our present birth, still we are very good. We have good sanskaras, we have good thoughts, we have good life. We are not as bad as some people which we see in the world. So that shows that in the last kalpa also, in the last confluence age also, you had done such good karma that you were able to sustain yourself for the 84 births. So this is why this birth is said to be the most powerful birth, where God himself becomes the bestower of fortune and writes our fortune. So, we should be prepared to get that elevated fortune, and this is the wisdom that is granting us. So, this is the deep secrets. Briefly it was said, but as you will go on with the spiritual study, you would understand the various other secrets also attached to the karma philosophy. Om Shanti. 2 minutes in silence.
कर्म करो ऐसे भाई तुम पड़े न फिर पछताना पड़े न फिर पछताना करो ऐसे भाई तुम पड़े न फिर पछताना पड़े न फिर पछताना कर्म करो ऐसे भाई तुम पड़े न फिर पछताना पड़े न फिर पछताना एक दिन तो धर्मराज को पड़ेगा मुख दिखलाना पड़ेगा मुख दिखलाना एक दिन तो धर्मराज को पड़ेगा मुख दिखलाना पड़ेगा मुख दिखलाना कर्म करो ऐसे भाई तुम पड़े न फिर पछताना पड़े न फिर पछताना कर्म करो ऐसे कर्म करो कर्म करो ऐसे कर्म करो मन में औरों के लिए तुम शुभ संकल्प चलाओ निंदा करता है जो तुम्हारी अपना उसे बनाओ आँखों से कभी बुरा न देखो पड़े जो आँख झुकाना पड़े जो आँख झुकाना आँखों से कभी बुरा न देखो पड़े जो आँख झुकाना पड़े जो आँख झुकाना कर्म करो ऐसे भाई तुम पड़े न फिर पछताना पड़े न फिर पछताना कर्म करो भाई कर्म करो कर्म करो भाई कर्म करो Thank you. से औरों को दुख देने वाले बोलन बोलो, अपने मुख से ज्ञान रतन भंडारे अब तुम बोलो। कानों से कभी सुनो न ऐसा पड़े जो कान कटाना, पड़े जो कान कटाना। कानों से कभी सुनो न ऐसा पड़े जो कान कटाना, पड़े जो कान कटाना। कर्म करो ऐसे भाई तुम पड़े न फिर पछताना, पड़े न फिर पछताना। कर्म करो ऐसे कर्म करो, कर्म करो ऐसे कर्म करो। ऐसा जीवन हो जो हंसते हंसते घर को जाओ, धर्म राज के आगे तुम निर्भय होकर जाओ। ऐसा हो न खाका अपना पड़े तो वहाँ पछताना, पड़े तो वहाँ पछताना। ऐसा हो न खाता अपना पड़े तो वहाँ पछताना, पड़े तो वहाँ पछताना। कर्म करो ऐसे भाई तुम पड़े न फिर पछताना, पड़े न फिर पछताना। एक दिन तो धर्म राज को पड़ेगा मुख दिखलाना, पड़ेगा मुख दिखलाना। कर्म